Blog Talk Radio.
Cut me, Mick. Cut me, Mick. Oh, I just can't help myself. Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. Rocky Lombardi. He leads the Sparty. When you thought that they were done, when you just keep questioning this program, that is Michigan State, they find ways to win. Not only do they find ways to win, but they find players that seem to just make it happen. I think the reason why I'm excited, and this is coming from a Michigan fan, by the way, the reason why I'm excited about Rocky Lombardi and what Michigan State did yesterday, there's two reasons. Number one, this is Rivalry Radio, by the way, and we love rivalries, obviously. Number two, I've been the underdog. I've been the backup. A lot of us have. Most of us in this country are underdogs. We don't all have it made. We got to fight for everything. And honestly, that's why Michigan State is a cool program. Every person kind of likes Michigan State, or should, unless they're a Walmart Wolverine. What Rocky Lombardi did yesterday is exciting for me, and I know we're going to have some disagreements today, me and Tyler Hayward's on the show, obviously, my wonderful co-host who had great insight, and I know he's really excited about this show. Before I get him on, I just want to say this. Michigan State always finds a way. And until Mark D'Antonio leaves, just get used to it. Because there's kids, the kids they recruit are a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun. They just have this toughness about them. They have this will to win about them. And this roster, the more I look at it, is completely depleted. Depleted, injured. And when you can win a game, you know, Purdue, they're not world beaters. I know they beat Ohio State, but they're not a wonderful program right now. But everyone thought State was going to lose again. What happens again? Michigan State finds a way again. Again and again and again, over and over under Mark D'Antonio. Tyler Hayward, you're with us. I know you had a lot of thoughts. First topic, clearly, we're going to talk Rocky. I don't see why we wouldn't. Talk about the game, too, though, and your first take on all of this that's going on.
Well, look, you know, the first thing I want to do, you know, my wife, her whole family's from Pittsburgh. And, you know, you had that tragedy yesterday. So thoughts and prayers to the Steel City, one of the hardest working cities in America. Just wanted to do that. But, look, this Michigan State game, you said it, lots of injuries. And they're playing with their second-string offense, essentially, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But all of the injuries, just all of these losses, just everything that's kind of compounded. Yesterday was the perfect game, and this may sound kind of laughable. Yesterday was a statement win. It was a program win. Now, it's not going to get them to the Big Ten championship. You know, it's not going to indicate they're going to get 10 wins this season. It's not going to do anything but in that aspect, but it showed. You can go out there with literally your second-string offense. You are playing the best offense in the Big Ten, scoring 43 points a game in conference play. You already lost to Northwestern, a game that you probably should have won. You lost to Arizona State, a game you definitely should have won. You lost to biggest rival. There is plenty of reasons to throw in the towel. But, oh, you know what, let's kind of stick with this Rocky thing. Life ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And that's what this Michigan State program has done. And I think it's kind of fitting, you know, you look at it like that, a quarterback thing. Rocky Lombardi, the most football name of all time. And he went out there and he performed really well yesterday. He's going to get a lot of the credit, as he should. But that defense shut down Purdue. That defense carried the team yesterday. That was Purdue's lowest output the season. And you throw in the fact that they probably got 3 gift points after not allowing Brandon Sowers to catch that punt in the first quarter. They ended up with a ball on like the 10. And Michigan State's defense locked down and shut them down. That defensive performance yesterday was one of the most impressive things that I have seen from this program since the 2013 Rose Bowl season. That defense is going to be phenomenal for the next couple of years because they are still a bunch of young guys. They're only losing 2 starters next year unless Raekwon Williams decides he wants to skip town for the NFL. So this team, they're set. They went out there. They showed that they're not going to quit this season, and it's got to bring a lot of joy to Michigan State fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that excites me for Michigan State people is, look, I'm the type of person, you know, I'm honest with this thing, and I know that we get carried away and we get excited about our teams, but at the same time, you got to look at what Michigan State did yesterday, and you got to say, boy, you know, this could really go one way. And it could be a lot like 2 years ago where they could really just throw in the towel and just have a struggling season, and they haven't. It's kind of powerful what they're doing. Continue to win, like the win against Penn State was huge, and this is just as big or bigger. And going to the Rocky thing, this is why I feel for the future he could be the guy. Now, I probably got a little too carried away earlier, but you know, I probably said some things that maybe I shouldn't have about Brian Lewerke. I'm going to say that Brian Lewerke's done a good job. Now, last year 10-3, is that great? I'm going to sit here and say Michigan State fans, that's not good enough anymore. I mean, I think that the standard has rose because of making the college football playoff. And when I look at the future of the program, boy, they just looked a lot more exciting under Rocky like yesterday, Tyler. I mean, I just thought that they looked – I mean, you see highlights, you see the way the players are running around, and that defense is going to play exciting all the time. But at the same time, you got to kind of have somebody to have faith in. And, you know, when he comes in like that with the second-string offense, like you said, you know, he runs over the player of the week last year from Purdue. He makes good throws. This is a guy, like, listen, as a Michigan fan, I'll tell you something right now. When you got to put that backup in, it's scary sometimes, man. I will say I'll be a little more calm when I come to say this, where let's let this thing play out. I mean, one game doesn't say it all. Hey, look, John O'Korn played great against Purdue last year, too. And we've seen where that thing went. Clearly, Rocky Lombardi is a different player. And I said it earlier on Anchor, I believe that Michigan State and that name and that quarterback, this could be something special, man. This could be like an exciting thing. This could be a storyline. And as much as Michigan State people kind of act like they don't like the hype and they want to be the underdog, but this is the perfect underdog story, Tyler. It's perfect.
Here's my thing is I think there's a couple of things that you've really got to take into consideration. All right, the first one is you said it's Purdue. All right, they're not built around a staunch defense. They're a better team than they have been in the past. They shot themselves in the foot pretty much every loss that they've had. They came out, they smacked around the number 2 team in the country. That's awesome. But they didn't do it on the strength of their defense. They did it on the strength of David Blau, Rondale Moore, DJ Knox, and that incredible offense.
Sure.
And so that's one thing you got to take into consideration when you're trying to, you know, decide. Because here's the thing. You got to let Rocky go out there again. You have to. You have to do it next week.
Of course.
You have to do it against Maryland because you need to see if what he brought was a one-time thing, and you need to see if it's something that maybe it is a little more permanent and now you've got a real situation on your hands. So you got to let him go out there. That's the first thing. The second thing is he's throwing 2 guys that he has worked with all offseason. When Felton Davis goes down, when Daryl Stewart goes down, when Cody White goes down, Brian Lewerke is not throwing to Brandon Sowards in practice. Rocky Lombardi
is.
I
get it.
And so there is that chemistry issue that you've got to take into consideration as well. If that being said, though,
on the other hand,
Rocky's arm looked better. He didn't connect on deep balls like Lewerke's capable of. Part of that may be the fact Belton Davis and Cody White aren't down there snagging them. We'll get an opportunity to see that this week. Cody White expected to return. So he wasn't connecting on the deep balls, but every ball that he threw, his form looks better than Lewerke's. He's just as capable of a runner, a little more powerful. The way that he was taking his shots does kind of scare me that we're going to see Theo Day sooner rather than later. So there's a lot of things to consider right now. I think Lewerke's still the guy because it was just one game, but you've got to give Rocky another opportunity, and you've got to give him opportunities in a big-time game. Ohio State's coming up in a couple of weeks. That might be the one, because Lewerke looked really, really bad against Michigan. Part of it may be the injuries. Part of it may be I heard that they installed a couple running plays for him against Michigan. He didn't run at all. So there's obviously something bothering him. And he's thrown to backup receivers against the number one defense in the country. It was just a terrible situation. That's not something you want to put a redshirt freshman in as your first game either. So D'Antonio had a choice to make. He let Lewerke make the choice. This week, they went with Rocky. It's a little easier of a challenge than Michigan's defense. And I think we're going to see Rocky a little bit more over the next couple weeks as D'Antonio's way to see what the future holds. Look, yesterday, it gave me all the faith in Rocky Lombardi in 2020, even with that killer schedule Michigan State has. It looks like probably it's going to be the toughest schedule in the nation in 2020. So I do have faith in Rocky taking over for Lewerke at that time. But next season, you have to figure out who your quarterback is, and you have to do it by giving Rocky a couple more games. Right now, it's still Lewerke. I'm not suffering from Matt Flynn syndrome, where he threw for over 400 yards against Detroit, got a monster deal from Seattle, and laughed all the way to the bank being a backup. So I'm not falling for it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Rocky is the real deal, because here's the situation. If he's better than Lewerke, Michigan State's in pretty freaking good hands. Either way.
I'm gonna say this. I believe this is exactly, not exactly, let me rephrase this. This is very similar to when they finally said Connor Cook's our guy. And, boy, I just feel like they're the same type of player. Not totally, but more that I just feel this sense of, you know, there's a swagger about him. There's an attitude about him. He's got a cannon. I think he can throw the ball. He can place it good. He can also run. Look, we've seen Connor Cook run over Wolverines. I mean, this guy's tough.
Delano Hill.
Midwest kid. And I just feel that I don't know if Brian Lewerke's ever done anything to make me feel like he's our championship quarterback. And I say that to say this, because I know that you're going to feel some type of way about that. Last year, Penn State, big win. Michigan, it wasn't because of Lewerke. I mean, you know, that he played okay, but it wasn't like he was the main difference. It was the turnovers by John Elkorn and their defense. And I just don't think – it's not like he's going out there and he's making the final reason why they won. Yesterday, I know it's Purdue, but he was the number one reason that they got over the top and won. The main reason still
that
is
defense
the defense
wasn't.
Michigan and Michigan State are very similar here. Don't get me wrong. If you put John Elkorn on that team right now for Michigan, I don't think they're much better than last year. They might be a little better, but not much. I think Shea Patterson is making a huge difference, and people aren't even noting it. I think Shea Patterson isn't getting enough credit at all. I think he's had a phenomenal season.
Right.
He's put the ball where he needs to put it. He gets away from pressure. Let me tell you something about that offensive line. They ain't that great. They're good, but they ain't that great. That quarterback can get away from trouble. And I'm telling you right now, the quarterback really puts your team over the top. I really think that for the future, if it's close and the kids are excited, because they looked excited yesterday. There was an excitement about I mean, my Facebook feed, everything is just Rocky, Rocky. It's nonstop. And I'm telling you something, with emotional kids, college kids, this stuff matters. And I really think if it's close, boy, they're going to have a big, big decision to make for next year. Of course he needs to prove it. He's got to play well next week. I think if he plays well next week and then he goes the next week against Ohio State and plays really well and close, or maybe they somehow get a win, I'm just telling you, man, your players start feeling confident. And you can say all you want about, well, he's used to throwing the backups a ton on. I mean, that isn't how this thing works. If you're winning with backups, look, Lowerke couldn't win with backups the week before. I don't think it has anything to do with who you're throwing to. I think it's how you throw. And I think it's
well,
how
I
you
think
lead
it was
the team.
A...
You know how the quarterback position is. You got to be a leader. I just feel like these guys are going to get behind him. I really, really do. That's not knocking Brian Lowerke. Hey, this is big-time college football, man. Things happen. Guys get hurt. It sucks. But you know what? If the other guy's leading you and you start getting this momentum, you got to get behind it. And I'm telling you right now, if this thing plays out for Michigan State, I'm warning all Michigan people, you're going to be eating crow next year, because if this guy turns out to be great and they bring all those players back, you're going to have a tough time beating that football team. And
now,
it just looks really good, man. I'm not going to lie to you. It's all setting up to be really, really powerful for Michigan State again. They're already really, really good on defense. And they just need that guy again. I mean, look, we've already been here enough, haven't we? Connor Cook was the difference because he was a great quarterback. They already had a great defense. They're stout every year. And it's just playing out. It really is.
Yeah, and well, here's the thing, though. When I say Lowerke couldn't win with backups, the big reason is because he doesn't have that chemistry with them. A lot of it is timing. And I think we're going to see maybe if there is a couple timing issues with Cody White next week when he comes back. Cody White is one of those guys Rocky Lombardi was not throwing to in the off season. Brian Lowerke was making those throws.
I think I have no problem throwing to Cody White. I think any of us could throw to Cody White.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I have problems throwing Cody White either. Like I said, and I told you this before the season. Look, Felton Davis, the most hyped Cody White, was the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. And so we're going to see a lot in regard to whether or not there is a chemistry issue. I think Rocky was still overthrowing that deep ball a little too much, somehow overthrew Jalen Naylor on the play. I don't know how that's even freaking possible.
He's got a cannon, that's how.
But, yeah, it's one of those guys, you sit there and you start laughing because you overthrew them, because you're like, okay, I can do this. So,
Better run faster.
Yeah. Just tell someone whose nickname is Speedy to run faster. I think that would work. There was one, I think, deep ball where maybe he probably could have connected, but I think Justin Lane was kind of slowing down on it and almost forgot what side of the field he was on because he looked like he was going to try to break it up before he went up to catch it. And I think if he would have kept those wheels turning, he could have at least made a diving effort for that ball. So I still want to see a little bit more in regards to the deep ball. Obviously, he's got the arm for it, touch and accuracy. And I think that if he starts connecting on that, I think that could be the difference maker. Because obviously, Lowerke can do it. Obviously, Lowerke has had help doing it. But, you know, there was a couple reads that Rocky missed. He had a Daryl Stewart on a slant for a touchdown. Michigan State ended up having to settle for a blocked field goal because he threw it underneath. They still had issues in the red zone. So it's not all peaches and cream yet for Michigan State. But like I said, you've got to give this time. And the only way to give it time is to give Rocky time. You don't want to start next season saying, all right, we got a quarterback battle. You want it solved by next season, but you need to see if there is going to be one this season. So then that way you have the entire offseason to work it out. You can't go out there with guys like Connor Cook did in 2013, and you're just dicking around with a bunch of different combinations, different receivers here, different quarterbacks there, and you need Shalique Calhoun scoring four touchdowns in the first three games to start picking up W's. You can't do that. You can't afford to do it next season. And so they need to
get
this solved.
Let me ask you this, Tyler.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question real quick. So if Lewerke, you know, they're saying, you know, something about, you know, a torn labrum probably was, which if that's the case, he's done. I mean, I can't even believe that that was the case that he's played. I think that's incredible that they would do that to the kid. But number two, the main question, I guess, is if he technically that isn't the case and he's just kind of banged up and he does get healthy in the next few weeks, what do you do then?
I think you give it to Rocky the next two. You got to give it to Rocky to see if there's going to be a quarterback controversy. But you talked about the leadership, the swag that Rocky came out with. Look, the players obviously have faith in Lewerke. He was voted captain. Connor Cook was never voted captain. You look at some of the guys on this year's team.
Yeah, they won.
You look at guys.
Who cares about the captain? He won games. He won championships. Get over the captain crap. I think that's the biggest crock of crap that Connor Cook gets that feedback. And I think Spartan fans should be ashamed. I mean, boy, Connor Cook.
Yeah,
he's not a leader, really. He led you to the college football playoff. Get over it.
Yeah.
That's my thought on that. It makes me sick when I hear that.
But what I'm saying is he wasn't even voted a captain. And Michigan State still had faith in his leadership. All right? Lewerke was voted captain, and you have a lot of leader-type guys on this team. You have Kari Wills. You have Joe Bosch. You have Raekwon Williams.
Who are you taking? Brian Lewerke?
You have Felton Davis.
Connor Cook. Who are you taking, Brian Lewerke or Connor Cook?
Right now I'm taking Connor Cook because of what he's accomplished.
Well, yeah, you can shove Lewerke's that captain thing up your butt then.
But what I'm saying
I'm just tired of that. I feel bad for Connor Cook. I really
is
do.
They have, what I'm saying is with the leaders on Michigan State's team right now, they obviously have faith in Lewerke to still vote him a captain over guys like Andrew Dowell and Raekwon Williams.
And I think that's laughable.
You were talking about Lombardi, about the team being behind him and all of that. They're behind Lewerke, too. It's just they went out there. They knew what they had to do. They still had issues in the red zone. They were still missing deep balls. And so there are things that do need to be worked out. And to say that maybe Michigan State doesn't have the same swag with Lewerke, I think that's a little bit laughable as well. The thing is Lewerke's not running like he was last season because he's been playing hurt. And when he is able to run, and he does have that extra thing that you have to watch out for, because you can't just drop seven back against a seven-string wide receiver, then it becomes an issue where I think maybe Lewerke, where I think Lewerke is still better than Rocky Lombardi. As of right now, does that mean that's going to change next season? Does that mean it's going to stay the same next season? No, absolutely not. Look, Rocky can pull ahead. But it's one of those things you have to consider. You have to consider, is this a one-time thing? Well, the only way to find that out is to give Rocky the call the next couple of weeks and tell Brian, look, you're the starter right now. We want to see if he can prove it, though. And if he does, you got to work.
I don't think Ryan Lewerke is the answer for the future. That's my thought. It's an opinion.
He's got one season left.
I don't think he's the answer for the near future. I don't think he's the answer, period. I don't look at him and say, oh, Big Ten championship quarterback. I just don't see it. With Rocky Lombardi over the next few years, I'm nervous. I really feel like this kid is big. He's strong. He can run. They're going to have more strong players. And I'm going to even put this out there, and I'm gonna throw a little curveball at you. I think if he plays last week, we might not be talking about the same stuff. I really believe that. I'm sorry. I know the weather was trash, and I know Michigan's defense was really good. But I'll tell you what, people are starting to forget that when he came in, I know the penalties were part of it, but that little throw he had to Stewart on the sideline, let's not forget that throw he had. This is not by not even playing. That little sideline pass when he's on the run, and this kid hasn't even played in the game, the conditions are bad. And, I mean, boy, I'll tell you what, man, I think Michigan State dropped the ball. I really think they dropped the ball in this thing. I think a healthy Rocky Lombardi, while not even playing, is a way better option than a banged-up Ryan Lewerke. And if you listen to the interview Rocky had
three weeks,
if you listen to what he said pre-week, I think it was the best thing a young man has said about his quarterback group ever. I'm even going to go out there. I know I'm hyping this thing up, but I'm going to say ever. He said we're all clones of each other. I thought that was the best thing I've heard because it's true. They're all the same, man. But there's one thing that's different about this kid. I just think he's got a little edge to him, man. He's got a little toughness to him, and I did not see that coming. So the reason why I'm saying this is because I thought he wasn't going to be that great. I mean, I looked at him coming into the game against Michigan. I go, who's this kid? I didn't, you know, I heard the name, but I didn't think nothing of it. Look, you can have a name like Rocky, but if you play like crap, who cares? This kid is tough. This is a Midwestern kid. You're finding out more information. You enlightened me today about his wrestling background. This is a
in
tough
Iowa,
kid.
Mind you, in Iowa.
Mind, right. Mind you, in Iowa, which is like WrestleMania. And I'm just telling you, man, this is perfect for Michigan State. I mean, he just is perfect. I don't see he's got to play really bad.
And one thing.
He's got to play bad. But if he doesn't play bad, oh, I don't know, man. I think this is the type of player they want. They need a tough kid. You got a rival down the road that you hate. You got to have tough people, man. This is the Big Ten. It's just a tough conference. And I'm not sitting here going to blame demographics and stuff, but Brian Lewerke is not a Midwest kid, man. And I don't think it's different. You just don't get it unless you come from these parts of the country. I mean, it's hard to know. It's tough, and it works.
One thing I want to say that really impressed me is when you watch Rocky roll out, when you watched him roll out yesterday, he was stopping right at the line of scrimmage every single time. He had a choice to run or throw. He would make those throws. I mean, obviously he didn't make them all because some of them were those deep balls that he had issues completing yesterday. But he was stopping right at the line of scrimmage. Like his awareness, his field awareness for being just a redshirt freshman and having so little experience, you know, big life, big stage, Big Ten on the big stage. Like, it was really impressive yesterday. And like I said, there are things that need to be worked on. Obviously, there's things that need to be worked on with every quarterback in the country playing at the college level. And so
sure.
I think that, you know, Lewerke still has some of those things that he needs to work on because he would, over the offseason, he knew he needed to work on his deep ball. And so he was throwing deep balls when he had checkdowns underneath this season. Some of those were completed, though. I think there's a couple things that you need to look at. One, if Lewerke's healthy, last week, like you talked about, he can run like Rocky was capable of doing yesterday. He does it different because he's faster than Rocky, and he doesn't have the build to take the hits that Rocky's able to take, but he's faster and he can get downfield quicker. And so it's a different style in some aspects. And like I said, the way Rocky throws the ball, I like it better than the way Lewerke throws the ball. But I think Lewerke, when he is healthy, when that running is an option for him, which that is why I want to see Rocky next week, is because I think Brian will feel a little bit better. But I don't know if he's going to be able to run.
Well, there's just no way
and
that they're
so,
going to turn their back.
And so behind this makeshift offensive line, you've got to be able to run. Brian right now cannot take those hits. He cannot take hits to his throwing shoulder. You have to put Rocky Lombardi in there. You have to give him more opportunities to, A, prove himself, and, B, you have to give him those opportunities because he's mobile. Brian Lewerke is as mobile of a quarterback as Michigan State has ever had. But he can't take those hits right now, and so you can't afford to put him back there.
Did you just
outside
say that?
Of Drew Stanton,
oh,
outside
boy.
Of Drew Stanton, there has not been a more mobile quarterback in Michigan State history than Brian Lewerke. And so you have to give him, you have to give Rocky Lombardi those opportunities.
I think of a few other names, buddy. I can think of a few other names. I mean, I thought that. I mean, I don't want to go back in time, but I thought obviously Tony Banks is a lot more mobile. And, you know, I think Enos, when he was a quarterback, he was a great runner. And I know it was a different running style. I mean, I get what you're saying. If you say one of them and you say top five, maybe. But, you know, obviously Stan way more mobile and Tony Banks way more mobile, and I'd even say wasn't Enos the quarterback early 90s? Am I getting that right? Wasn't he quarterback for when they beat Michigan in 1990? I'm trying to go back in memory lane here, but he was a great run. But, you know, let's move on because I know that we could talk the whole show about Rocky Lombardi and Brian Lewerke, but
Rocky.
Right. I've been saying it ever since the game. I mean, I can't stop thinking about it and all the memes and the pictures of Rocky Lombardi's face on the real Rocky is pretty hilarious. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's just for a program that's dealt with a lot, it's nice. It's a positive thing. You know,
my Halloween costume this year, gray sweats, a blonde wig, and some boxing gloves.
I mean, seriously, it's gotten to this point where young kids like this stuff, man. It's exciting. You know, it gets you pumped up, and you know they're chanting every day, and there's just a positive
how
vibe.
How much of it, seriously, though, how much of it is just the name itself?
Oh, I think it's his play, but the name clearly makes it that much sweeter. And I just think that the blonde hair, I mean, look, sports are characters, man. Sports are storylines. This has storyline character written all over it. This has an ESPN special written all over it, especially if they start winning. And people get behind it.
Still won't watch it.
You know, the thing about it is, before we get to Michigan, I'll say this one last thing about Michigan State fans. You got to start getting a little more excited. And, you know, we talked about this earlier in the year where I said Michigan fans need to be a little more humble. Well, I think Michigan State fans need to be a little more confident and cocky or a little more excited because I think that you can't downplay this thing. You got a quarterback named Rocky. It's freaking cool. I mean, pump it up. Show up to the darn games. You got a big game in 2 weeks against Ohio State. And, you know, Tyler, you know, me and you have been talking. I've been wanting to go to a state game. I want to go for sure now. You know, it's like, I mean, it's exciting, and I don't even root for Michigan State, but I just want to see the kid play. And I think that
So you're going to the Ohio State game.
Well, you know, I definitely would root for Michigan State in that one.
I mean, well, I know who you're rooting for. You're going?
Well, I try. You know, look, you know, the way my checking's set up, you know, let's see how the prices go. But anyway, you know, it's I just think it's fun, man. You know, I just think it's fun for Michigan State. It's fun for me. And, I'm excited to see what happens with this. And, look, if it doesn't work out, hey, Brian Lewerke is still a really good quarterback. Let's not forget that. But I just think it's fun. Moving to Michigan, I mean, huge game this week. I mean, this is kind of everything. You know, I really think this is the biggest game of the year for Michigan. And I didn't think that would be the case prior to this. But it just is the biggest game. You know, you have to win it.
Yeah.
Another must win. They got this whole revenge tour thing they're saying, and they got to beat all the teams that beat them. Hey, you know what? Just like Michigan State, how I said it's exciting and you got to get behind your team. Hey, these guys from Michigan are saying it's a revenge tour. Well, you got to do it. You got to beat Penn State. You got to prove it. And I think that, number one, I think something's really wrong with Penn State. And we're going to talk about that when we preview this game now. I just think something's missing. I don't know what it is. I watched some of the Iowa game yesterday, and they just don't look the same. I mean, they have stupid mistakes. McSorley got a little banged up yesterday. I think the defense struggles. They just do dumb stuff. And I think some of the decision-making is weird at Penn State. I think that win for Michigan State over Penn State is becoming less and less exciting to me. Like, I don't know. Am I on the right track here? They just don't look as good as I thought they would.
It is kind of weird to say that because, I mean, I can see where you're coming from because Penn State has tried to piss away their last three, four games. And, you know, against Indiana, you 4 minutes left, throw the ball three times, once behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, that takes a pair to do it. And so, I mean, I don't know they've actively tried to give away games is what it's looked like. Against Indiana they did. Against Iowa they tried. Against Michigan State, I don't think you really saw those levels
McSorley running out of bounds instead of trying to slide while inbounds, I think was a mistake, but Michigan State still would have had time to hit Felton Davis in the end zone. So I don't know if I would credit it. Don't know if I would file it under the same category, and so that's why I think the Penn State win was still big, because they didn't try to give it away as much as it looks like they have the last couple games. And, I mean, look, to be honest, this is the way I feel. Michigan State football is incredibly talented, and they win those games not because of the coaching, because of talent. I think Jim Harbaugh is not a good coach. He's got good coordinators, but I don't think Jim Harbaugh himself is a good coach. James Franklin makes Jim Harbaugh look like Urban Meyer.
Well, that's scary to say. Urban Meyer's
because
got problems
James,
right now.
Okay, fine. Makes Jim Harbaugh look like Mark D'Antonio as far as coaching. How's that? Because
well, that was a good one.
James Franklin has done absolutely nothing like Harbaugh, but he coaches like crap. And I, like, if not for James Franklin, I think Jim Harbaugh's, I think, one of the worst three coaches in the Big Ten. James Franklin kind of elevates him and puts him beyond that pedestal, because James Franklin is obviously the worst coach in the Big Ten. They're winning again, just kind of like Michigan, in spite of their coaching. They are winning because of Trace McSorley. They are putting literally everything on Trace McSorley's shoulders right now and on his back and anywhere else you can put pressure on. That's what they're doing. And I know maybe saying something like that around, with the Penn State football program history was not the wisest thing in the world to say. And I know pointing that out was probably even less wise. But James Franklin has actively tried to give these games away. James Franklin is a terrible coach. And missing from that team is quality coaching.
When you say that, you know, Jim Harbaugh's not doing anything, his assistants are doing all the work, well, I think Lloyd Carr had the best statement ever. You know, you're only as good as your assistant coaches. And it's the truth. I think you're only as good as what you have behind you and with you.
Well, if that's the case, Mark D'Antonio sucks because of Warner, but that's not the case.
Well, I think they've lost a lot of games, and Mark D'Antonio still has been questioned. I think, you know, your assistants have affected you as a coach. And I think that that's why Michigan State struggles. I mean, that's why Harbaugh does well right now, and that's why Michigan State's lost a few games. I really believe that. I think you know, some of the things that State has done, and I think a lot of it's injuries too. But I do think that Dave Warner has to go. I'm going to stand by that no matter what they do the rest of the year. I think he has to go. They need to they can't lose games they've lost, like to Arizona State. That's just a bad loss. And, you know, you can't have certain things on offense that never change. And this is a conference where you play the same teams, just like all the other schools, right, and other conferences. Coaches understand what you do, especially if they're the same coaches. And you got to have something different. You know, you got to come up with something. When it comes to Michigan and their offense, I just think there's a couple things that people aren't understanding. Number one, their best receiver is not playing still. Tariq Black was by far their best receiver. It was noted, and everybody knew it. Everybody said it. There's not even a debate on it. He was their best receiver all around. Now that maybe he comes back, if he is somewhat healthy enough, I think their offense changes a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit. I think also their style is just not going to change. I mean, Michigan's going to play the way they are. Ron Higgins had six straight games with 100 yards rushing. They're not going to change. They think it works. So their way is, hey, we're going to win with defense, and we're going to have to do it. My advice to Michigan coaches is if you start giving up some points eventually, because it always happens eventually, you're going to have to do some things on offense. You're going to have to do some things creative, because you're not going to win all the time with defense. It's just not. It's not going to happen. The game's changed now. You know, McSorley could go off next week. He could have a big game. He's a great athlete. He's a great player. He might play his best game next weekend. What are you going to do then? You've got to score points. So I think that's the worry for Michigan, that they're going to have that game where the defense doesn't play well. I think the great thing about Michigan this year is they had that game already possibly, and it was Northwestern. You know, Northwestern just totally lit them up the first quarter, and they managed to find a way to get over it. Notre Dame, same thing. It's like quarters. It's not necessarily the whole game the defense plays bad. I don't think that Michigan defense is capable of playing bad the whole game, unless maybe they are fortunate enough to play Alabama. Then they'll play bad the whole game. But moving forward with this game, I just think that this might be the game where Shea Patterson has to really blow up. We've been needing to see one game where he's the main reason. I think this might be the game.
Yeah, Michigan's they're still a run to set up the pass type team, which outside of Wisconsin, they may be the only ones in the Big Ten like that. And so they are going to maybe need to open things up for Higdon a little bit, because Penn State does have a pretty good rush defense against your power formations, and that's how Michigan likes to run the ball. They've obviously expanded their offense a little bit to include the read option, and so, you know, that may help offset that a little bit, but Michigan likes to run to set up the pass, and everybody knows that. And Penn State, I mean, they've got some great players in the secondary. I obviously watched, watch him give Felton Davis pretty much all he could handle till the end of the game. Obviously, you know, best player won at that point. But I don't think Michigan's got, you know, a receiver close to Felton Davis level with or without Tariq Black. This is going to show Patterson's worth this weekend, because I think Penn State can slow down the run enough to where he's going to have to make plays. That 75-yard pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones against, you know, Michigan State's fifth-string corner, is that going to be there against Penn State's number one corner? Probably not. And so he's going to have to. Right, and that's the thing. He's going to have to check down a lot to his tight ends. He's going to have to make some of those reads to move the ball efficiently and make up for the fact that they may not have much of a ground game.
Yeah, you know, they've had moments where, you know, the run hasn't been successful the whole game. Michigan State game is obviously one of them. Shea makes the pass to DPJ, the game's over. I mean, that was the one play that I said, that's just a great play. I mean, it's man coverage. He made the throw. Receiver made the play, and you haven't seen that in a long time from Michigan, so it was pretty outstanding on that front. Their tight ends, I really believe you can have an argument that the best tight end group in the conference. Nick Eubanks has turned out to be a very good player. He's a stud, and Kari Willis found that out. You know, if you get move too far up in coverage, that kid can get behind you, and he did it. And Graham Perry is still a decent enough slot guy where he can make enough plays. He had a couple of really big first downs against Michigan State. They need to do the same thing with him against Penn State. They've got talent at receiver. It's just they don't use it enough. But I don't think that they need to, because, you know, the tight ends are really good. So they're an interesting offense, to be honest. They use their tight ends really effectively. They have a really good passing game if they use it more. I think it's just that. You have to use it more. I think there's a game sometimes where you're going to have to start off with the pass before the run. Now, this could be a perfect time for Shea to take off and make big plays.
And then Higdon can milk the clock.
Right. I think their offense is solid. I think they're going to be all over McSorley the whole game on defense. I think watching how easily they got to the quarterback gave me plenty of confidence that Michigan can. Penn State's offensive line is straight trash to me. I don't think they're good at all. I think they give up too much pressure. And McSorley's running for his life, and thank God he's a good athlete. The receivers.
No, I mean, I've made the case. Michigan State's front seven is better than Michigan's, and they were getting on McSorley. They did not give up anything to him as far as his rushing ability. So Michigan should be able to do the same. I mean, Michigan's almost as good, if not just as good, as Michigan State's front seven. So I think that they're going to have those opportunities to get in the space as well. And if he's banged up still, then it's going to make it that much easier.
I think the one problem Michigan will have is facing Penn State is, you know, they got KJ Hamler, they have DeAndre Tompkins, they have what's the other guy they've had, and we don't even mention him anymore, but, you know, he was supposed to be their best receiver. I can't even think of his name, but, you know, they've got three receivers. They've got three guys that can give you problems, and, you know, they can throw to their, you know, running back out of the backfield. I think Miles Sanders has had some pretty good moments this year. I mean, they don't run the ball that great, but then again, McSorley's a decent runner. This is going to be a harder game for the defense, but I truly believe they can do what Michigan State did. They can slow it down, but I do think that Penn State is very, very capable of putting up 17 to 21 points on Michigan. I really believe that. And if you give up a couple big plays, it could be more. I just think that it's going to come down to the offense. Michigan's offense has to play a little better. I don't think Penn State's defense is that good. I really don't. I don't think they're strong enough. I think they are very athletic, but I think Michigan can definitely dominate the line of scrimmage. I really believe that. I thought the way Michigan wore down a really, really good Michigan State defense, that was impressive. Obviously, time of possession has a lot to do with that. But if you start getting Penn State 3 and out a couple different times and you start scoring, well, I think they're going to crack too. I mean, I think that's just the Michigan way, man. I really think that we're not going to see anything different. And until they do give up a big play here and there on defense and they got to come from behind against a very athletic opponent, I guess, like Penn State, I just think their way is probably going to work. This is probably the 1 year for me in a while where I said, you know, Michigan's pretty darn good. They're a pretty darn good football team, and they really just – they don't make the same mistakes made over the years. They don't turn the ball over that much. You know, last week, obviously, the conditions didn't help. Those were the couple poor decisions, couple bad, you know, reads. Guy slips and they fumble. You know, I think Michigan has done a good job of controlling the football this year. But I just don't know how – they just don't do enough for me on offense still. I don't look at them as a team that, you know, because, you know, on the title I said, you know, college football playoff talk with Michigan. I believe they're good enough to make college football playoffs. I think Michigan State
right, 2015 winning the Big Ten
is very similar. Exactly. You win out. Well, they got to win out. You know, they got to win out.
Yeah.
And if they win out and they win the whole thing, then I have confidence that they can do that. I have no confidence in them winning a game in the college football playoff. And I think the talk of them being the best team to compete against Alabama is an absolute joke. There's no way that's true. Clemson is by far the one team that can match up, and they've proven that. And I would argue that there's a couple other SEC teams that would do a better job than Michigan. I think that they definitely are right on track. I think that at this point, the hype is a little real for them to win the Big Ten. The hype is not real nationally yet as far as winning a college football playoff game. But, you know, hey, they've done their job, and they just have to prove it. I mean, really, it's right there for them. Everything's lined up for them. You just got to win, and that's pretty much it. I mean, there's nothing – there's no storyline. There's no hype. Trips to Rome and wherever doesn't matter anymore. You got to win. You know, you got to win, you know, and the revenge tour thing that the players said, hey, I totally can get behind that. I totally can say, you know what, yeah, those guys kicked your butt last year. Get behind it and win. And talk is cheap. Wins cost a lot. And, you know, this is big. It's big for Michigan. A lot of excitement out here, obviously. But, you know, we'll talk the state of the state. Todd, I wanted to end on this today. I think the state of Michigan, we're in some pretty good hands, obviously, for football. As far as college football, we're not going to talk about the Lions today. We'll talk about the Lions after this game because I have no idea what's going to happen, and I'm nervous. And I don't even want to talk about it yet. Michigan State and Michigan – there's a lot of power right now in this state with college football, and it's pretty exciting. You know, there's good recruits coming to both schools. Talk about your first thoughts when you think of both programs, where they're headed, where they are now, and what you would like to see from both programs for the future.
Well, I think we've kind of talked about what we'd like to see. You know, Michigan's offense needs to evolve. I think Michigan State, as far as their situation, I just want to see them get healthy because I think as talented as a team as far as their starting group as there is in the Big Ten. You have essentially played your entire second-string offense this season. And so, look, they get healthy, they'll be fine. I do want to see their offense evolve, and that may be getting rid of Dave Warner. So I think that those are the two I think it's essentially the same thing for both teams, is the offense needs to evolve for both teams to take that next step.
Sure.
No, I would agree with that. As far as, like, program-wise, like, clearly me living out here, you know, I get to see some more stuff. You know, I've seen facility-wise, and I don't get to go to Michigan State much. I'm impressed, obviously, always have been. Michigan's always kind of had pretty decent facilities. But there was a time when I thought they were getting a little lackluster. I thought that Michigan Stadium obviously was getting a little boring. And I thought the excitement wasn't there, whereas now maybe the excitement's crazy and they may not necessarily have won a lot of football games. But I think the recruiting and the excitement and the facilities are at a really high level at Michigan. I know we had talked about the field. I really felt, you know, me and my dad are watching the game, I felt like, boy, this field's a nightmare. And I looked up information about Michigan State's field, and they've been known to be one of the best natural grass fields in the country. And you had brought that up as well. So I thought, well, I learned something today. But I think that, would it be fair to say that there is some facility stuff Michigan State has done that's at a really high level for football because of their winning, and they prettied it up a little bit, I guess. But would you say there's still a couple other things they should do?
I think they've done a good job trying to update everything. They have they've really done it for both football and basketball, and they have made these moves that are necessary to keep everything interesting, adding the Tom Izzo Hall of Champions and things like that at the Breslin Center. The Duffy Daugherty building, absolutely amazing on campus. It would look a little the Scandalera Center and everything. The Scandalera Center, I think, would be a little bit prettier if Paul Bunyan was still there. But overall, it's an incredible facility. When you do come up, I'll take you over there and you can take a look at it, because they have done a great job updating the facilities. Spartan Stadium, I mean, it is what it is. Every football stadium at some point, unless you're a pro team where that is all that you do, has a boring concourse. But everything else around the program, everything else that the players, that the recruits and all those guys look at, the important people of the program, which is the players, everything that they have is well above par in East Lansing.
Oh yeah, no, I think the practice stuff and the all the things you just had mentioned that the players have to see on a daily basis, not just on Saturdays, it is well above the average, well above. And I've always felt that way about Michigan State. You know, the Michigan State basketball practice facility is, I know they've done a couple of new things too, but that's been outstanding for years. And you know, Michigan finally caught up on that end, where they finally got something at a high level as far as basketball development, and their basketball development center is unbelievable. But I think that, you know, I do think it's the stadium. I mean, that was my next thing I was going to bring up. I thought that that would be the next step to even further this process of upgrading, because I just think that when I look at it, I feel like there's some things that could change. Obviously, the Jumbotrons are pretty cool. I mean, I know they've done that. And this, when did that happen, Tyre? About 5-6 years ago, correct? They added that?
They added that right around the Rose Bowl season. I don't exactly remember when. Largest video screen in the conference. So, I mean, they do have, like I said, as far as the stadium goes, look, stadium's going to be a stadium. You know, every stadium, every outdoor stadium is going to have metal bleachers to avoid wear and tear. And so, it's not going to be the prettiest thing in the world as far as college football goes. As far as the field goes, yeah, it didn't look great. but I mean, nothing does in rain, you know. I mean, it wasn't at least
natural
it wasn't
grass
nine
and
field.
Rain.
Yeah,
it's not gonna
look great regardless. Look, it's not as the Pittsburgh Steelers have the worst field in the history of football, and they're a pro team. They can't figure it out. And so I think it says a lot about what Michigan State does in that aspect. I think, you know, everything from the field to, you know, off the field stuff, Candelaria Center, buildings named after former coaches, all of that type of stuff is well above par.
Yeah, no, I think both programs are it's exciting. I mean, I've been around driving around it more now here, and obviously I was on the field last year, and it's just incredible their field, how fast you run on it. You know, Michigan Stadium's field, it's just such a different field than I've ever felt before on a football field, and some of the stuff they have as far as the drainage and things like that, where, you know, last year Michigan fans want to make all the excuses they want for their loss in the rain of state. That field was not slippery at all. You know, it's just a different feel. I mean, there was sometimes guys fell down, but it's a total different field than what they had, you know, when they had natural grass. And this stuff is high-tech, and the way they can drain the field is an absolutely incredible. And how, you know, there's that technology and these things that these kids have that we couldn't have dreamed of having when we were coming up. But no, I think that I didn't bring it up by any means to knock either school. I think both have outstanding, you know, facilities and technology, but I just was kind of wondering your take because you're around it. But I think as far as on the play, you know, as far as on the field play, I think both teams for a long time with both coaches, if they stay and they continue to upgrade their staff, and they're going to be really good, and we're going to have a really good rivalry for some years to come, because I just don't remember ever being this competitive, because quite frankly, I think Michigan's arrogance kind of was like, we don't treat Michigan State as a big rivalry. And I think that's why I was most excited, Tyler, because I've been telling you this for years, that game has got to be way more important for you. Like, you have to start realizing how important that Michigan State game is. And I think the way Michigan did it isn't liked by many, but in the end, I like it because it's a rivalry. And, you know, we're not going to go crazy about it today because we're past it, but I just think it is kind of fun. And I think that we can understand that moving forward, we've got something here. And it's not going anywhere. You know, it's just never going anywhere. As far as what we end on today, you know, obviously, like, I'm throwing another curveball at you like I always do, but basketball started, and close scrimmage, I believe, right, Tyler, exhibition with Gonzaga, is that correct?
Yep.
It sounds like Nick Ward was really, really not sure.
Yeah.
They threw some stats out there. Talk about that before we head out today, about Michigan State basketball, a couple of things you've learned. And enlighten us on that.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing that a lot of State fans were kind of curious to see is what the starting lineup would look like, because Tillman and Ward are both so talented, and Michigan State does have other fours that are available. And so I think we saw who the starters are going to be. Kenny Goins is going to get the start at power forward, at least in the early part of the season. Cassius Winston still has a couple issues with ball control, purity, six turnovers in the scrimmage. He did have 16 points, 8 assists, though, to go along with that, so it didn't completely lock him down. I think, you know, based upon – it obviously wasn't a actual, you know, 20-minute half type deal. So maybe some rotational things were designed by Michigan State to see some of these freshmen together, to see what they're going to do with Thomas Kithier, because he may potentially be along the lines of a redshirt, given the fact he had to sit out last season for Clarkson. So I think that it gave Izzo an opportunity to look at his big – rotation, because that's going to be the thing. Like, everyone knows Tillman and Ward are going to be the two best post players. Tillman had 16 points last night coming off the bench.
Sure. Yeah.
He, the you know, Kenny Goins is probably going to get the start, though, because he's more developed as far as the shooting goes. And Kenny said in an interview during Michigan State Media Day, a third of the shots that he's taken in practice have been three-pointers. And so that's going to be more of a stretch four thing designed to open up the floor for Nick Ward. And then Tillman can be that energy guy. If something happens to Ward, Ward gets in foul trouble or Ward gets benched because maybe his relationship with Izzo isn't as great as they've been telling everybody. I think that you'll see Tillman more. And so that gives them that flexibility. You know, and then you obviously know Aaron Henry's going to be the first wing off of the bench. He's the most ready of all the freshmen, according to Izzo, as far as his basketball body goes. Foster Lawyer is going to play. So you know what your top eight's going to look like. Lawyer's going to play because we don't have another point guard. You know what your top eight, you know what your top eight's going to look like. You've got to figure out those other guys. You know, the one thing that impressed me, that impresses me about this, a close scrimmage. It's not against Eastern or Western or anything like that, Central. It's against Gonzaga. At a neutral site. Like, when Izzo says anyone, anytime, anywhere, he really means it. Obviously, Gonzaga handed it to Michigan State a little bit, but Gonzaga's the third-ranked team in the country right now. So,
Gonzaga's
pretty
good. Yeah, they never seem to win anything, but they're good. They're always really good. They did get to the Final Four recently and almost won it. And that's a big-time program in his way. I wish I'd like to see him in a better conference, but then again, hey, I think they should be in the Pac-12, but you can't put them in the Pac-12.
But look, Gonzaga is the third-best team in the country according to these preseason pollsters. So, look, I thought it was a good test considering the fact that Michigan State's second string is going to involve a lot of freshmen. And freshmen are going to be as big as they've been, maybe even bigger than when guys like Ward, Winston, Langford, and Bridges all came in together. I think the freshmen are going to play a bigger role this year because each one is going to need to be significant.
Yeah. Oh, no question. Yeah, that's good stuff on basketball, Tyler. Obviously, you know, excited about the season. They got Kansas here pretty soon in the Champions Classic, so that'll be outstanding.
And got Northern in an exhibition Tuesday night. It's going to be the official start. Can't wait. Should be a good season.
Yeah, should be a great season for both Michigan State and Michigan. And Jordan Poole definitely made the basketball rivalry even more exciting. So some of the things he said. So Michigan's got the bragging rights in that sport too right now. I mean, like it or not, you know, Michigan State's got a lot to prove on the hardwood this year. They did win the Big Ten last year, and Michigan State, that is, in the regular season. Michigan wins the Big Ten tournament. Hey, we got a lot to talk about here. We got a lot to be excited about. Again, thanks, Ty. We'll get back to Lions football Monday. We'll talk about the weekend games. We'll, I'm sure, talk a little more about Rocky, and we'll talk more basketball. So thanks again, Ty. Talk to you soon, man.
Rocky.
You gotta end it with that, for sure. Again, Rivalry Radio, wherever rivalry matters, but none more important than Michigan State. We'll keep talking about that throughout the year. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll get back with Rivalry Radio and Lions Talk tomorrow.